This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with verses 146 to 148 of chapter Ali Imran from the Holy Quran, recited by Ali Parisgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa ka'ayyin min nabiyyin qatala ma'ahu ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. And how many a prophet has fought with whom were many worshippers of the Lord? So they did not become weak-hearted on account of what befell them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken, nor did they abase themselves. And Allah loves the patient. And their saying was no other than that they said, Our Lord, forgive us our faults and our extravagance in our affair, and make firm our feet and help us against the unbelieving people. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and better reward of the hereafter. And Allah loves those who do good to others.
This This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The World Health Organization warns of real catastrophe in Gaza as the Israeli regime continues its bloody onslaught against the besieged territory. Iran warns if Israel's crimes in the Gaza Strip continue, then any preemptive measure by the resistance front is possible in the coming hours. And Hamas resistance movement says it's not intimidated by Israeli ground invasion threat, warning Gaza will turn into a graveyard for its invaders. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. Top story, Israel continues its relentless strikes against the besieged Gaza Strip as the death toll from regime's onslaught mounts. Now, health officials in Gaza say over 2,800 Palestinians, including over 1,000 children, have been killed in Israeli attacks that began back on October 7th. Nearly 11,000 others have been wounded. The humanitarian situation is also deteriorating as the regime has blocked a supply of water, electricity, food, and medicine into Gaza. World Health Organization is warning of an imminent catastrophe in the enclave.
As far as water, electricity, and fuel are concerned, according to the UN, the Red Cross, and the Red Crescent, after 24 hours, it will be a real catastrophe. No fuel, therefore no electricity for all the inhabitants of the Gaza Strip in general, and for the medical establishments in particular.
WHO officials said if aid is not allowed into Gaza, then patients will die. Al-Mandari added overcrowding has paralyzed hospitals in the territory. He said intensive care units, operating rooms, emergency services, and other wings are all on the brink of collapse. According to the UN Human Rights Chief, depriving civilians of goods essential for survival is banned under international law. Palestinian resistance groups have launched more attacks against Israel in retaliation for the regime's relentless bombardment of Gaza. Military wing of the Hamas resistance movement, the Al-Qassam Brigades, fired missiles at the occupied Al-Quds in response to Israelis killing so many Palestinian civilians. Also, in Al-Quds, meeting of Israeli Knesset was disrupted due to missiles from Gaza. Meanwhile, the Al-Quds Brigades, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement, has targeted Israeli intelligence building and a Kerem Shalom border crossing. Palestinian resistance fighters entered a Gaza envelope area on the 7th of October following missile strikes on Israeli targets in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Nearly 1,900 Israelis have been killed and over 3,800 injured since the operation began. Hamas has launched a campaign in response to repeated desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and Israeli crimes and aggression throughout the decades. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister has issued a stern warning to Israel as the regime continues a deadly onslaught against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
The leaders of the resistance front will not allow the Zionist regime to do whatever it wants in Gaza and then turn toward other resistance groups with Gaza no longer in its mind. Therefore, any preemptive measure is possible in the coming hours.
Amir Abdullahian added that all options are on the table in the face of Israel's aggression against Gaza and resistance groups. He said new fronts will inevitably open up against Israel if the regime does not stop its war crimes. The top Iranian diplomat also warned, in his words, the geographical map of the Israeli regime will change if the war spreads to other resistance fronts. Asked if Iran will join the war against Israel, Amir Abdullahian said anything is possible and no side could watch regime's atrocities with indifference. Representatives of the Palestinian resistance movements have come together in a conference in Tehran to discuss the latest developments in the Gaza Strip. They said despite intense Israeli aggression, Palestinians will not surrender, as Samah Kujuri takes us there.
Tehran has hosted a conference on Palestine to discuss the latest developments in the besieged Gaza Strip. The event was attended by representatives of Palestinian resistance movements, including Hamas. The participants believe despite Israel's brutal bombardment of Gaza, Palestinian resistance fighters will be victorious at the end.
What's happening in Gaza is a genocide taking place in front of the eyes of all people across the world. But Gaza will not surrender, and the resistance continues to shoot rockets at the Zionist settlements. Undoubtedly, the Al-Aqsa flood operation will change the principles governing the conflict with Israel completely, or at least to a large extent, and this will bring good regional and international consequences. Victory will be with Palestinians.
Israel launched a war on Gaza on October 7th after Palestinian Hamas resistance group waged a surprise attack, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, against the occupying regime. Israel's military has also ordered 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza to evacuate their homes amid signs of intensifying its offensive. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have fled south following the order. The United Nations has warned it is impossible for such a movement to take place without devastating humanitarian consequences. Human rights groups have stressed that depriving an occupied population of basic necessities is a war crime.
The only thing in front of our people today is to face alone the atrocities of this barbaric hegemony of and offensive of the Israeli army. And I, as I said, the diplomatic statements from the Western government, it's very, very weird and unacceptable by our own people. What is the meaning that the British and the American, they are announcing a war against our resistance? This is a resistance which has been legitimate under the international law because they are defending themselves against the occupation. We are under the occupation and we are in state of defense against the continuous atrocities and offensive of the Israeli army for the last 75 years.
According to the Gaza Health Ministry, at least 2,750 Palestinians have been killed and 9,700 wounded in Israeli airstrikes on the Strip. Tehran says the history of the apartheid regime is filled with assassinations, massacre, torture and killing of children. It says Tel Aviv's horrific killing of Palestinian women and children is indicative of the destitute of the regime. Political analysts believe that Israel has no one to blame but itself for the war with Palestinians. Samah Kujuri, Tehran.
Military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it's not intimidated by Israeli threats of ground invasion of the blockaded Gaza Strip. Spokesperson for the Qassam Brigade said it's ready for any such offensive and will use it as an opportunity to severely punish Israel for its crimes against Palestinians. He vowed Gaza will turn into a graveyard for invaders. Abu Ubaid added Hamas and other resistance groups are holding 250 captives taken from Israel. He said at least 22 were killed in Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. Abu Ubaid said non-Israeli captives are being treated as guests and will be released when conditions are ripe. Senior Hamas leader Khalid Mashal also said group wants the release of some 6,000 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for these Israeli captives. An Islamophobic American U.S. state of Illinois stabbed to death a 6-year-old Muslim boy and wounded his mother and shows support for Israeli regime's war on the Gaza Strip.
I'm trying to start this teddy bear foundation for the mom and for the little boy who didn't deserve this. He didn't. 26 times. How can anyone do that to a little boy? I can't. It's heartbreaking. And again, it's because it's in this community. He had nothing to do with it. All because he was an innocent child. He was Muslim. That's what happened. He was Muslim, and this is what they did. This is what this monster did.
Well, Wadi al-Fayoumi, a Palestinian-American, was stabbed 26 times by a 71-year-old landlord, Joseph Zuba. His mother also had multiple stab wounds, but is expected to survive the attack that occurred Saturday. According to police and locals, victims were targeted because of their religion. Zuba is now charged with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, two counts of hate crime, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and set to be arraigned on Monday. As Israel intensifies deadly attacks on Palestinians in Gaza and humanitarian situation deteriorates there, people all throughout the world have been joining mass rallies demanding an end to the aggression.
This moment is crystal clear. We are seeing unbelievable human suffering and loss of life. Atrocities are being carried out in Gaza. They have been for the last week and for 75 years in Palestine. My heart breaks. I cannot bear what is happening to the people of Gaza right now.
American Jewish people gathering outside the White House to show their solidarity with the Palestinians. They're calling for an end to Israeli atrocities in the name of Jews. In the Indian capital, New Delhi, students also took to the streets in support of Palestinians, demanding that the world take action and stop Israeli crimes. Meanwhile, hundreds took to the streets of the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah, calling an end to the regime's bloodshed in Gaza. In the Yemeni capital, Sana'a, thousands marched to show support for Palestinian resistance. On Saturday, demonstrations were also held in Sydney, Tokyo, Rabat, and Istanbul, among other cities. Pro-Palestine rallies have been taking place despite some Western countries putting restrictions on such protests.
Huge numbers of pro-Palestine demonstrators marched on Downing Street Saturday amid the UK government's outpouring of support for Israel's regime. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has spearheaded a controversial British response to the latest violence in Gaza, a reaction which many have condemned as reckless and criminal.
These protesters are furious, and not just at the horrific images and videos coming out of occupied Palestine right now, but also at the British authorities, who are throwing accusations at protesters like this as somehow being anti-Semitic or sympathising with terrorism, simply for coming out and supporting the Palestinian cause.
Reports have already surfaced alleging that a Palestine activist in Manchester was arrested for wearing a Palestine flag. This comes after Home Secretary Suella Braverman warned that waving a Palestine flag could be classed as criminal in some cases.
First and foremost, it's very clear there is double standards. If a government is supporting Ukraine and Ukraine are resisting the occupation, then we have to say, why is there a double standard for the people in Palestine when we know, without a shadow of doubt, 70 years have gone by, they are under occupation. So holding a flag, it doesn't make sense for a people to come under attack only simply because they are showing solidarity for a people who are the Muslim and the people who are oppressed.
I feel disgusted and I feel unsurprised. At the end of the day, Palestinians, majority of us are Muslim. We are coloured. We are not European. So I'm unsurprised and I'm disgusted from the racism that's been going on. I'm absolutely disgusted and I'm unsurprised, but it needs to end now.
Of the Palestinian diplomatic representative.
In response to Britain's eagerness to support Israel amid the violence, Conservative Party MP Crispin Blunt issued a warning that the UK could face legal action if it does not do more to restrain Israel amid war crimes accusations.
I'm not entirely sure that my colleagues have quite grasped the legal peril that they are in or fully understand the international law in this area. You can't encourage powers to commit war crimes.
Onlookers watch in fear as Israel goes ahead with its bloodshed in the besieged Gaza Strip. Israel has already targeted Gaza with intense airstrikes. The brutal aggression has so far claimed the lives of more than 2,000 people and injured many others. Hundreds of thousands have also been internally displaced as a result of the regime's bombardment of the blockaded territory. Robert Carter, London.
pro-Palestinian rally in Brussels once again attracted thousands after a similar event took place here last Wednesday. The misery being endured by civilians in Gaza and the unwillingness of Western powers to rein in Israel were factors highlighted by those in attendance.
Hospitals being bombed. Hospitals. They're telling people to evacuate. And then what happens? They're bombed again.
Yeah, they bomb the people who are evacuating. What would you say about that?
It is essentially, Gaza is a very big concentration camp.
My family is killed in Gaza yesterday. And my brother and my uncle, every people killed in Gaza. That is not good for Israel. Israel is not good.
One sign read, "It is not about religion, it is about humanity. Stop genocide." Campaigners claim that Israel is attempting to wipe out Palestinians with the assistance of some Western powers.
The USA and the EU are actually very hypocrites because a genocide is finding place at this time in 2023.
There are a lot of kids killed and people have to move from their place and they have nowhere to go, etc. And that's really, really horrible for the people of Palestine.
It's a genocide, it's not a war. It's not a war. Palestine has not a military power, has not nothing.
They say that they are for peace, but in the same way they are sending weapons, they are sending bombs. It's not fair.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen was in Israel on Friday.
Europe stands with Israel.
During her media statement, she did not mention Palestinian victims once. Activists are calling on EU authorities to help stop the bloodshed and worsening humanitarian disaster in Gaza. European Council President Charles Michel announced on Saturday that an emergency meeting of EU leaders will take place via video conference on Tuesday evening. This has attracted a lot of criticism on social media, with people asking if they think it's such an emergency, why wait until Tuesday evening? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee, O patron of beneficence.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. As a reminder, in a couple of episodes, we made you familiar with the views of John Foran, American professor of sociology from California University, on the character of the greatest leader of the past centuries, Imam Khomeini. It was said that Foran has carried out a lot of research about the Iranian history and the Islamic Revolution. You had his comparison of this revolution with the constitutionalist movements and the nationalization of oil industry, the two great events of the preceding century in Iran. Today, we are going to deal with his other views on Imam Khomeini and his unmatched revolution. John Foran says that nearly all notable researchers of Iran's history are of the opinion that the Islamic Revolution was the outcome of class coalition. He stresses that social forces active in the revolution had built up a civil and popular coalition. He explains that Imam Khomeini powerfully managed to unite every stratum and class around a single cause, namely Islam. This Western thinker writes that workers and businessmen took part in the revolution alongside the masses. They played a significant role in the ceremonies held for 40th of Martyrs of January, February, March, and May of 1978. Thus, they encouraged hundreds of thousands of fresh forces to join the ranks of a struggle against the despotic regime. The core of this great movement, however, was formed by the clergy and seminary students who were almost unanimously supporting the Imam. The American researcher also maintains that writers, poets, journalists, lawyers, teachers, and students were the pioneers of the Islamic Revolution who would awaken the masses here and there. Students were active in universities, demanding lawful freedoms in various spheres of life and society. They participated in demonstrations and strikes actively, and many of them were arrested and tortured by the agents of the regime's notorious and ruthless intelligence agency, SAVAK. The personnel of different ministries, factories, and offices helped reinforce strikes and demonstrations to paralyze many sections of the regime's already bankrupt economy. Dear listeners, although the American researcher John Foran has tried to highlight the role of the so-called national religious groups in the process of the Islamic Revolution, he has failed to understand the reality that most of the so-called intellectuals had never been among the masses of people and the poor and low-income strata, as they often led a luxurious life in their ivory towers. In view of this, the majority of this group pursued their own demands and thought that they could reach gains in the aftermath of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. As a matter of fact, many of these people were affiliated to either the West or the East, and alien from the pristine Islamic teachings which Imam Khomeini and the high majority of the Iranian nation pursued. The Imam had several times said that the main supporters of the revolution were the workers and the barefooted people who had become fed up with the dictatorial policies of the regime and the dominance of the U.S. in every domain in the country. Foran falsely believes that workers and low-income classes backed the Imam only for political reasons, while people unanimously chanted their support for Imam Khomeini due to his firm support of Islam and his uncompromising spirit vis-à-vis the U.S. as the absolute symbol of arrogance and enmity of God in the contemporary era. Like many Western thinkers and observers, Foran tries to link the Islamic Revolution with economic problems and poverty to conclude that the greatest revolution of the past centuries took place only due to empty stomachs. Foran fails to realize the people's unprecedented love to their leader, Imam Khomeini, who was the embodiment of all Islamic and divine values. The Iranian people could see the virtues of the divine prophets and infallible imams in the person of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini was the dream of every free-spirited person that had come true. This Western University professor has also failed to understand the lofty values of Islam and the unending capacity of religion to bring the masses to the scene by a divine leader. In short, Foran has tried to portray the Islamic Revolution through his spectacles, which is dominated by Western take of events. He and thinkers like him are unable to realize the lofty value of a struggle with bare hands against armed-to-the-teeth forces. Most of the Western thinkers don't understand or don't like to understand that Muslims prefer Islam and the rule of Islamic values to everything, no matter what the price. Restricting such lofty values and ideals to the mean materialistic goals is very unfair.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Eye on Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome to Eye on Islam, the show where we look at current affairs through an Islamic lens. Each week we consider a trending news story and we break it down from an Islamic perspective. This week we're bringing you a very special show in the wake of the declaration of the Al-Aqsa flood operation waged by numerous Palestinian groups in Gaza. The attack was a multi-pronged effort that saw attacks launched via a combination of vectors including land, sea and air. Let's have a look through the events of that historical first day of operations.
At about 6:30 a.m. local time on Saturday, the 7th of October, Hamas fired a huge barrage of rockets into southern Israel, with sirens heard as far away as Tel Aviv and Beersheba. Hamas said it launched 5,000 rockets in its initial round of strikes, while Israel's military said half that number of rockets were fired. About an hour later, multitudes of Palestinian fighters crossed into the occupied interior of Palestine or Israel, either by breaking through the barriers separating Gaza or by flying over via motorized hang gliders. A number also infiltrated via sea with the use of motorboats. At 9:45, Israel began its airstrikes on Gaza, while clashes took place on the ground, with Palestinian fighters penetrating Israeli bases, including the Zakim base and the Gaza Division headquarters at Reem. As the days have passed, the intense fighting has continued, with Israel launching indiscriminate attacks on densely populated civilian targets in Gaza, while Palestinian groups have continued to launch rocket attacks on Israel. While Yoav Gallant openly declared Israel would be committing war crimes in enforcing a brutal and indiscriminate siege on Gaza.
We are imposing a complete siege on Gaza. There will be no electricity, no food, no water, no fuel. Everything will be closed. We are fighting against human animals, and we are acting accordingly.
Latest figures suggest that over 900 Palestinians have been murdered and 1,000 Israelis have died. Joining us today to talk about the latest developments in the studio are two very special guests. Dr. Hossein Shahrastani is the former Deputy Prime Minister and former Energy Minister of Iraq and is a distinguished nuclear scientist. And joining us on Skype is Karim Ali, a civil rights advocate with a legal background and a deep interest in the affairs and conflicts of the Global South. Thank you very much both for joining. Dr. Shahrastani, I would like to begin with the first question. Do you believe that the current global attention on Palestine is due in some part to its status as being a holy land, not just, of course, for Islam, but the other Abrahamic religions?
Of course, that's a major part of it. Palestine is holy and significant to the Muslims, not because of sentiments or, but it is in the Quran itself that God says He has made His mercy, barakah, on Masjid al-Aqsa and the surrounding, which is Palestine. In the verse that's very well known, the verse of Al-Isra, Subhanallah, Asra bi Abdi, Laylan min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Glory be to Him who took His servant by night from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa. So it is a very, very important place to the Muslims, as it is to other religions, Judaism and Christianity. But that's not the only reason. I mean, the atrocities that has been committed against the Palestinian people in the last 100 years, it's not just the last 6 days, has really raised awareness of the world. I mean, yes, we are talking from London. We are in the West now, but the overwhelming majority of the world, which is not in the West, have great concerns simply because of their human, you know, human concern for what is going on in Palestine, and we can see people demonstrating all over the place and asking for the rights of the Palestinians to be recognized.
And I want to come to you, Karim, and this operation, it's just been launched in the past few days. Why now, and why do you think those Palestinian groups have gone so heavy and so fast?
Thank you, Issa. Well, I must say it is surprising. I don't think many expected it, whether you are in the region or in the West. The multi-pronged and sophisticated nature of it is very telling of current competencies and capabilities. Especially the blindsiding of American and Israeli intelligence suggests that only a very close circle was informed, and also we can understand from that perhaps that Palestinians have acted independently in this instance. It's important to understand that this is all part and parcel of a reaction to 75 plus years of brutal occupation, illegal under international law. And from that perspective, one begins to see the point of view from which they operated from.
Now, Karim, I want to follow up on that. How is it that the most well-funded and sophisticated intelligence agency, Mossad, which seems to have a great reputation over the last few decades, didn't see 3,000 to 5,000, an estimated 3,000 to 5,000 rockets, and all these fighters coming into their territory over the course of those opening few hours? How did they not see that coming?
At this point in time, Isa, I believe it's quite unclear. We might have to wait for several answers. It may be the fact that in the past, several attempts of operations have been thwarted by the intelligence community, and it may very well be, as I suggested earlier, that a closer circle was informed this time, and therefore that information was not able to be leaked and acted upon by Mossad or indeed American intelligence circles. It may also very well be that there was a knowledge and there was a decision not to act upon it, as suggested by some reports. I believe the Egyptians made it clear a few days ago that the Israelis had knowledge of this particular plan, but decided not to do anything about it. Now, the implications of that are that it gives Netanyahu and his murderous cronies the fire that they were looking for to put out, in very polite terms.
Sure. Dr. Shahrastani, now, in the wake of this battle that's raging, and of course we've been seeing the bombardment of Gaza over the last few days, what should Muslim governments be doing to support Palestine? And of course, bearing in mind that religious scholars, the Maraja, have come out in support of the cause of the Palestinian people.
It's not only the duty of the Muslim scholars and the Muslim nations, but humanity as a whole, because the crimes that are going against the the Palestinians, not only during the last 6 days, but throughout over 60 years now, have left them no choice, the Palestinians. They started appealing to the UN to implement its resolutions. It fell on deaf ears. They waited for their Arab brethren to help them for 65 years. They had no choice but to defend themselves by throwing stones till the Islamic Republic has helped them to manufacture their own arms, because nobody could really get them anything through the blockade. So this is expected, what's going on, and it is really the responsibility of every decent human, not only Muslims, to stand by them, stop this aggression, and recognize their rights and allow them to live in their homeland in peace and security, and allow them really to live their normal life. This has been deprived, and they had no other choice but to defend themselves. Any other human would have done the same.
How do you characterize what some Palestinians and others would say or accuse the Arab leaders as being traitors for normalizing with Israel, and also maybe even the Palestinian Authority themselves, who many say their role is to fulfill the Israeli government's security concerns and to clamp down on any resistance?
I think this last battle has been an awakening call to everybody. Those Arab regimes that started normalizing relations with Israel should have heeded to the calls of their own people, who are refusing and rejecting this behavior, this political behavior. But now they have really to open their eyes to the new realities. The Palestinians are not going to allow anybody to silence them, to shove their legitimate rights under the table, and talk to the Israelis as if life is normal. Life is not normal in Palestine, and the sooner these leaders wake up to this new reality, the better chance they have to reconcile with their own people. It's not only with the Palestinians, it's with their own people. Otherwise, they are just betting on a losing horse that is not going to take them. Israel had shown that it cannot even protect itself. How is she going to protect these regimes who are normalizing the relationship?
Thank you. The war in Palestine has led to large protests in the British capital, with thousands gathering outside the Israeli embassy in West London to slam the atrocities being perpetrated by the Israeli military. Ayn Islam spoke to some of those who attended.
We are very saddened by what the British government has done, calling for an unequivocal support for Israel, who is an occupying power violating international law and has put the people of Palestinians under siege. We condemn this in the strongest terms, and we call upon them to rescind their one-sided support for Israel and become an honest broker and try and bring the two sides together towards peace.
I want to send my support to the Palestinians who are still resisting and still occupying new territory in Palestine and inspiring the world with what's possible. The success of Palestinian resistance it makes me emotional to even talk about it. I'm so happy to be here and see so many other people who are similarly inspired.
Palestine has a right to resist. It doesn't matter what they do, they have a right to resist. And anyone who opposes that are either ignorant of international law or are just bigoted. It is one rule for the oppressor and the occupier, and another rule for the oppressed and the occupied. So that's that, as far as I'm concerned. So then the question is, well, what about people like Rishi Sunak, Sadiq Khan, who are lighting up our government offices with the flag of the occupier? That is a political statement. That's a political move. and anything they say around that is just bluster. Muslims need to realize that if our opponents, the occupiers of Palestinian homes and lands, if they're going to pull a political move, Muslims need to pull a political move as well. So what I'm here today, inshallah, is to help bring bring out people to help us with our campaign for the general election, inshallah, next year.
We have to send a strong message to the whole world that the British government doesn't speak for us. And we in the UK have to do everything in our power to disrupt this relationship. The British government willingness to stand by as Israel calls for new waves of war crimes, completely in violation of the Geneva Accords, which both Israel and the UK are signatories to, is appalling. But right now is a time for celebration. The steadfast resistance has given us so much to be proud of and so much to aspire to in our own lives. We all have a duty to resist as fiercely as Palestinians resist.
Because I believe Zionism is wrong. I'm an anti-Zionist, and I believe the occupation of Israel, the occupation of Palestine isn't good. Don't cry, you'll be free. You'll be free one day, inshallah.
Now, Karim, propaganda is a well-documented tool in any war. What do you make of the overwhelming push in the UK to paint Palestinian civilians and resistance fighters as terrorists?
I think the equation of resistance with terrorism, as well as the labeling of Palestinians as human animals, for example, is disgusting and deplorable, dehumanizing language that is deliberately used to justify acts of terror against the Palestinians, whether it's war crimes such as cutting off water, energy, food supplies to Gaza, as well as when the occupiers take that stance, they encourage their allies to join them in that far-reaching goalpost, which at that point then gives Israel the justification and the support they need from the international community to continue to act with impunity.
Now, I do want to ask a question to yourself, Doctor, and it's in particular, you said that there's been a shift. Now, does this operation signify a major shift in regards to history, going forward? Are we going to look back on this and say this was a major turning point in the occupation and also regionally as well, the balance of power? I've heard many people talk about, oh, this is a change in the balance of power. Is it really going to see a change in the future?
I believe it is. This battle have shown for the first time that the Palestinians can stand up, fight for themselves, and be victorious. All the previous battles have been either attacks on the Palestinians without really being able to defend themselves, or it has been fought on behalf of the Palestinians by them. Some Arab states that has abandoned them at the end of the day when they regained their own territory. So this is the first time that the Palestinians have been able to fight an army that is considered one of the strongest armies in the world after the superpowers, and defeat it and enter the occupied territories. And we know all what has happened since then, taking the prisoners of war and some hostages and so on, and inflicting such a heavy loss on their enemy. So all this shows that there is really a change in the power in Palestine itself. Israel can commit atrocities, can attack civilians in Gaza, can deprive 2.25 million people of water and medicine and food, as they have declared, their defense minister have declared. But none of this is going to change the fact that Israel has been defeated by the Palestinians themselves for the first time.
Now, we know that there's long been, attempts to both conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism and at the same time dehumanize the Palestinian people. And then as a result of that, we've been seeing, you know, very one-sided narratives coming forward in the West, in the UK and elsewhere. And in particular in the UK, you know, just in the past few days, we've been seeing people being arrested just for waving Palestinian flags on the order of the Home Secretary. Now, what can Muslims and others in the UK do in their professional and online capacities to support Palestine? And what kind of legal support can they get?
Thank you. So to answer the question of what kind of legal support can pro-Palestinian activists or professionals receive, it's the moment that you understand or feel that you are being targeted, harassed or bullied, you should reach out for legal help. The Islamic Human Rights Commission is one such organization that provides this sort of advice and assistance to individuals. I think perhaps on a broader scale, the Muslim community and other pro-Palestinian communities, activist groups can come together for is a legal fighting fund that will provide a war chest to repel accusations that are slanderous and libellous and defamatory with respect to labels of anti-Semitism and so on and so forth. I just want to provide my own analysis at the moment as to what is going on in the UK regarding pro-Palestinian censorship, if I may. It's done in several ways, in particular through three prongs, from what I understand. Those are through criminalization, which we've touched upon, lawfare, and policy. Now, they're all very related. They're all very much related, but they're also interlinked with their own separate methodologies and priorities. So in the instance of criminalization, for example, we have the idea of scaremongering ordinary citizens into the idea that showing support for Palestine through a chant or indeed waving a flag is going to be a criminal offense that is, in Sir Ella Braverman's estimation and understanding, equal to terrorism or amounting to support for terrorism. And this is only meant to be exercised in certain contexts, but when you have police officers who are the arbiters of that discretion of what is that context, then we really have to ask questions of, are they really equipped here to deal with this sort of matter, or is it...
That's more an attempt to try to silence rather than actually arresting people, right? It's more to intimidate and to have a chilling effect on people's free speech.
That's correct, and all it can lead on to arrests. As we saw yesterday, as you did mention, there was a young man in Manchester who stood near a pro-Israeli demonstration with a Palestinian flag on his back and was removed and detained by police along with three others. In a now deleted tweet by Greater Manchester Police, they stated that they were not arrested for flying the Palestinian flag, but really it was a public order offence. That tweet has obviously, as I mentioned, been deleted, and it's very unclear as to what exactly happened and under which powers those individuals were brought to action. Moving forward, if I may, or if you have another question, Issa, then please, I don't want to stop you.
No. I was actually just about to say, unfortunately, that's all that we have time for today. But I wanted to thank you, Karim Ali, for your time. And also, of course, Dr. Hossein Shahristani as well for joining us in the studio today for this really important and I think historical time in history as we look at what is happening in Palestine. Again, thank you. You can join us again next week for another edition of Eye on Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
Leader's remarks at the joint graduation ceremony for the cadets of Iran's armed forces. On Tuesday, 10th of October 2023, the Commander-in-Chief of Iran's Armed Forces, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, delivered a keynote speech at the joint graduation ceremony for the cadets studying in the academies of the Islamic Republic of Iran's Armed Forces. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at the graduation ceremony. Please stay with us. Every year, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei takes part in the joint graduation ceremony of cadets studying in the academies of Iran's armed forces. And during this year's ceremony, the leader emphasized that one of the most sensitive and vital institutions in management and administration of the country is the armed forces. Congratulating young people who have entered the nation's officer training universities and are now receiving their epaulettes, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The armed forces are considered to be an iron shield for national security, and national security is the foundation for all the other important areas that play a role in the country's progress and development. Security is a prerequisite for everything else. If there is no security, nothing can be achieved. If a country lacks the ability to protect its own security, it has no choice but to define itself under the banner of this or that power. It has no choice but to attach itself to others. But what does this mean? It means this country has to put its national honor on the line. If it fails to do this, if it fails to use its national honor, its political words will naturally have no credibility in the world. Even if it makes progress economically, there will be no guarantee that progress will continue. The armed forces are a fortress for security, for honor and national identity. This is the field that you have entered today. Therefore, you should truly be congratulated in the real sense of the word." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Thank God our armed forces have passed their test well. Sometimes the armed forces are merely on display for their clothes, for their insignia and military formations, but not our armed forces. They have passed important tests and emerged with flying colors. They have passed important tests and emerged with honor. The most important of these tests was the 8-year imposed war on Iran. They imposed a war, a kind of war that was truly a world war on our country. And the last test, of course, up until today, was fighting the fitna or sedition of Daesh terrorists, which was also very important. In the 8-year imposed war, our armed forces defended every inch of their country, as well as the sovereignty of their beloved Islam. They thwarted the collective conspiracy of the East and the West at the time. Our armed forces did this. Back then, the world's political and military might in the East and the West supported the invader Saddam. Each of them supported Saddam in a different way. Our armed forces were able to defend their country and the integrity and sovereignty of our dear Islam. The sedition of Daesh was an evil plot devised by the United States of America. Daesh was created by the United States in order to disrupt the stability of our region. Their ultimate goal was destruction of Islamic Iran. But once again, our armed forces, together with the armed forces of the targeted countries, succeeded in overcoming this sedition. They were able to thwart this plot. This is something to be proud of. These are the golden medals on the powerful chest of the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces. Our cadets who are training in each one of the organizations of the armed forces must improve their morale, their religion and ethics every day." The leader added, My next recommendation is to upgrade the education and living environment of the students. Our dear officials in the armed forces should pay attention to this. The workshops and classes need to be improved, and the student residences should be improved every day in terms of their living facilities. Also pay attention to the educational level of those entering the university. Turning to recent events in occupied Palestine, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "In recent days, an important political and military issue has focused the attention of the world, and that is the unprecedented events that have taken place in our dear Palestine. We cannot be indifferent to these matters and to this important event. Fortunately, the stances taken by our officials were correct and appropriate. I would like to share some points in this regard with you and with the Iranian nation. The first point I would like to make is the same thing that we have seen